Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the words that we've just heard and pray that they may work in our hearts and minds, challenging us with your truth, comforting us with your peace, that our lives may show more love to you. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Roy Loy, the president of the International Forgiveness Institute. I didn't know this group existed. But I was reading about it. He was talking about our passage today. And he remembers hearing a country western song that had the following lyrics, or these words in the lyrics. Nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everyone wants to be the leader of the band. And I was intrigued by those words, and I tried to find the rest of the lyrics, but I couldn't. Google wouldn't take me to them after searching several pages. However, there's a lot of truth in those words. And it's not a new phenomenon. We see vestiges of the idea of those words all the way back to our passage from Matthew today. Listen to what Jesus says again. He's talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, but they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogue, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them Rabbi. They play games with the people. The truth is, I would venture to say that there are times in most of our lives, if not all of our lives, when we play those same games. We want to be served. We want to be first. We want to be recognized. Most of us like it. I like to sit in places that where the respected people sit when I go to banquets and things like that. We like to feel that we're worth something. And we feel that way when we're recognized. But then I was reminded of a story that I read about by the great Pittsburgh Pirate baseball player Ralph Kiner, who died last February. And he tells the story after the season in which he hit 37 home runs. He asked the Pittsburgh Pirate general manager, Branch Rickey, for a raise. Rickey refused. I led the league in homers, he reminded him. Now, where did we finish? Rickey asked. Kiner said, last. Well, Rickey said, we could have finished last without you. Jesus often reminds us that he came not to be served, but to serve. To put others first. Today is about humility. But I'm always skeptical when I preach about humility. Because you see, humility is a very slippery slope. It's so easy to feel that we're being humble, but then we find out that really our humility, or easy for our humility, kind of be a way to build us up. It's another way of playing games with ourselves and others. I've told you the story of a town that decided to have a contest to pick out the most humble person in their town. And they had the votes, and the votes were collected and counted. And the winner was announced, and he was given a medal, and then the next day it was taken from him because he was wearing the medal in town. Today, On this All Saints Sunday, we are remembering those family and friends who have died over the past year. If you look at the names, most of you don't know very many of them, or any. They're not famous. They don't stand out. But they are people who have touched other people in powerful ways. Can you remember the names of all the most valuable players in the World Series over the past, I don't know how many years? Can you remember the Heisman Trophy winners of the last 10 years? Or even last year, for that matter? Well, you might remember him. No. But you can remember people who have touched you in powerful ways. You remember those who shared their lives with you and you with them. Those are the real saints. The people who quietly live their lives trying to make the world a better place, or who gently encouraged others in their journey. They are the people who, if you said to them how much they meant to you, would probably not have any idea they did as much as they did for you. I had a teacher in the fifth grade, Mr. Helderman. He was my first male teacher. And he was very strict. He held me back in the fifth grade. And I was really upset, obviously. And I always thought it because my grades weren't good enough. But then I found out years later from my mother that no, it was because I had always been on the bottom of the pile in terms of being liked and all of that kind of stuff, being involved in things. And he thought it would be good for me to stay in his grade another year. I would know what was coming and how to do it. My grades would improve and all that sort of thing. And I'd be on top of the pile. The second year, our school had built a new addition onto the old school. And I got into school that morning, and I was called Tucker back then. He says, "Tucker, come here." He said, gave me a piece of paper. They had a classroom layout on it. He says, "I want you to go to our new classroom and arrange the desk like this diagram." And I did. I remember him and that day as the day that my life began to turn around. And I remember sending him a graduation announcement from high school. I don't know if I sent, I may have even sent him one from college, I'm not sure. Because, and I said to him, "It's because of you that I'm graduating, or graduating as well as I did." Jesus calls us today to live lives like those kinds of people. He calls us to live our lives quietly doing the things that He did. Building people up. Lending a helping hand to those who needed a hand up. I remember I called a minister of a church, a large church, very wealthy members in it. And he shared with me that his church had all chiefs and few Indians. It was hard to get anything accomplished in that church because people thought they were way above doing the menial tasks that it took to get things accomplished. And I also recall, or just read this week, a visitor to the Biltmore Mansion in Asheville, North Carolina. If you ever get a chance to go see this place, it's marvelous. And a visitor went there and was pleased to find someone playing the piano in the winter garden. He felt it enhanced his visit until he recognized the tune. She was playing the old Shaker song, "'Tis a Gift to be Simple." And he thought, how ironic it is to hear, "'Tis a Gift to Hear, Tis a Gift to be Simple,' in America's largest home." The music did not match the venue. The church needs people. People who live simply and will quietly roll up their sleeves and do the work that God has given them to do. And gently, quietly touch the lives of others in wonderful, positive ways. Are you one of those people?